And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Okay, broadcasting from the coronavirus epicenter in the state of Michigan, it's the Yacht Club Show. This is Mike, otherwise known as Killer, and I've got Rev D and Dr. Jim on the line, and it's April 1st. Wish this was an April Fool's Day joke, this coronavirus, but it's not. It's with us. Before we get on with the show, I just want to remind listeners, we are registered with the Apple Podcast app. So if you go in the podcast application on your iPhone and search for the Yacht Club Show, you'll find us and then kindly subscribe. If you're an Android user, the same thing works, I believe, in Google Play. And also want to remind listeners of our website. And you can find it a couple different ways. KillerandDave.com. That's KillerandDave. All together, three words all together, killerandave.com or yachtclubshow.com. So just trying to give our listeners easy access to the podcasts and would appreciate if you are trying to find us using one of those paths.
Killer, there's a myriad of ways that we can be heard, taken binge by the sitting at home.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to pass the day?
That's true, to get our wisdom over the years. Good idea, Killer.
Our goal has become the kings of Novi, Michigan radio.
Okay.
Very humble goal.
Yeah. You know what? Keep them small, you'll never be disappointed.
That's right. Under promise and over deliver. Well, anyway, okay. It's been a week. How you guys doing? The news seems to get grimmer every day. Just want to hear your thoughts.
I got a question first, you guys. Does anyone know if we can take showers yet, or we just keep washing our hands?
No, thank you.
Come on, a little levity to break it up. Come on.
I like it.
Come on. News is getting grimmer.
Hey, but back to what you were just talking about, Dave, I have... I mean, giving a lot of thought to the problem you posed about washing your hands and showering.
Yeah.
I think given the amount of time you wash your hands, obviously you don't need to keep doing it. But I think you can take a shower as long as you don't wash your hands. You'd be washing them too much then, and you could just, make
you get
your
wrinkled.
Skin.
And you get wrinkled fingers. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. I get it.
Thank you.
That's a public service announcement from us.
That's my suggestion if you're looking for an alternative solution to the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're washing your hands a lot, let me make sure I get this. When you shower, don't wash your hands.
Don't wash your hands when you shower.
Don't wash your hands when you shower. This public service announcement from the Yacht Club. You heard it here first. How's the beard coming along, Dave?
You know what, Mike?
Speaking of not showering.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Jim can attest to this. I'm up to about 7 hairs now. And it's, what would you say, Jim?
I think you're being too modest there, Grizzly. I passed him on the street, and, we're in the interest of social distancing.
Right.
I didn't get any closer than about 20 feet, and I could see his beard.
You can see a beard from 20 feet away?
Well, yes.
Then Dave is underselling this thing then, apparently.
He is.
Well, I did go out and buy a trimmer.
This is commitment, man.
That's progress.
Yeah, I bought a trimmer. It was getting a little unwieldy. So, yeah. But I remember now why I had a beard years ago, when they were, this is the 70s. And
was that post-epics?
Yeah, that was after the epic.
Okay.
I was clean shaven during the epic. But when I trimmed it, you get done, and there's all these little hairs in the sink, and you got to clean up. And it was just, it was just a nuisance, and it was a nuisance trimming it, and I never could... you know, this part would be off a little bit, and I'm trimming. It just is a pain in the neck. That's why I got rid of it. It just was too much trouble. And I know at some point that's what I'll do again. It's just not worth the with the effort. But I was talking to my daughter Carrie about it today. She says, "Dad, it gives you something to do. It's 20 minutes where you can have a mission. You're not just sitting around looking for something to do." So maybe for that, for the foreseeable future, I'll keep it for that reason. Just because it occupies some time for a while.
Okay. But if you're looking for something to do during this period, grow and groom a beard is what you're saying.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Another public service announcement from the
Yacht Club Show. Yeah. But I don't know about you guys. It's getting hard to we're catching up on all our little projects around the house, the things that we wanted to get to, and you never seem to find the time. I'm finding a lot of time right now in getting these things done. I don't know what you guys are finding.
Same thing.
I've got a few things done, but I'm not, I don't want to burn myself out.
Yeah. But yeah, so like Killer was alluding to earlier, it looks like we're going to be shoot till the 1st of May anyway in lockdown mode. So what do you guys think? As we sit here today, as opposed to a week ago, are we better off? I know things are going to peak in the next 2 weeks, and this is going to be with us till I think there's some states that are going to be peaking in the middle of May. So we're not out of the woods, but do you see a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think we have to. You know, this is something that I find very frustrating. You know, people say things like when Trump was making noise about going back to work by Easter or something like that, and then everybody got, he's placing lives at risk just for the rich people or something.
Right.
I find it very frustrating that people have this attitude that the economy is sort of optional. You know, we don't really need an economy. It's really there just to make rich people rich. So if we have to have, we've always had an economy. Yeah, okay, we'll go along with that. But man, if there's going to be one old grandma who's going to die because of this thing, we just can't have an economy. So I was just, you know, I'm listening to that. So if we wait for this to be, quote, over, I'm afraid we'll be so far behind the eight ball that we'll be in some serious trouble.
Yeah. Because
all they're going to do then is just print more money. They'll just keep printing wheelbarrows of money and dumping it out there.
Yep.
And then, you know, we'll make post-World War I Germany look like a conservative's dream.
Yep. That was going to be my answer as well, Dave. I'm worried about my job.
Sure.
Worried about, you know, GM and Chrysler just announced their sales dip, but Ford tomorrow, it's not sustainable. I'm as terrified about the economy as anything else, really, because like Jim said, you might reach a point of no return. And I think you referred to this in our last show, Dave. It's going to have to be a balancing act. At some point, we're just going to have to accept X percentage of people are going to get the virus, and a much smaller percentage are going to pass away because of it. But at some point, you got to say, you know, what's the balance? It's going to be a very challenging proposition, but it's going to be a tough decision that government's going to have to make.
Yeah.
Well, people talking about it, and Jeff got ripped when he talked about getting the economy open by Easter. But you're right. There is a price to be paid, and if we don't open it, we're going to have to at some point. Because one of you just said it, this thing isn't going to be done June 1st. This is going to be with us until we have a vaccine or we have medicine that works. This we probably got a year and a half of this to go through. So how do we get things going and still keep people safe?
They'll probably figure out a way to resurrect commerce. Vehicles, cars sold over the internet, but how many jobs will be lost in the process? That's what's really scary.
Yeah. One thing I think we need to do is acknowledge who the people are that are at risk. And instead of focusing on social distancing for entire population, you socially distance for those who are at risk. And others will just, you know, be as normalized as they can in their life with, you know, incorporating, you know, reasonable social distancing and hygiene and that sort of thing, but not shutting down businesses. So you go to restaurants, and instead of, you know, going into a restaurant that's packed with 50 tables, now maybe there's 25. And how do you get on an airplane after this when you're sitting elbow to elbow with people?
I don't know. That's a good question. Who's going to have that confidence to get on that airplane?
Right. And what about subways in New York? Now, that's where you're just going to have to accept that people are on the subway, and people are going to get infected, and they're going to be 37 years old, and they're going to have a bad flu, and a week later they'll be back at work.
I think what businesses are going to have to do is accept work from home as an option. You know,
right.
it's always been, well, we can't trust employees to do the right thing. They're going to slack off. I don't think those are going to be the discussions anymore. They've just got to figure out a way to make it work. Thank goodness for technology, or I'd be out of a job right now. But I've been working from home for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, think about, I want to say maybe probably longer, 5 years, but that would not have been an option. Systems would have been overwhelmed. The public internet connections would have been overwhelmed. Firewalls would have been overwhelmed. At least, you know, if there's any silver lining, it's that technology might get us through. And I think that there's going to be some cultural changes. There's going to be more acceptance of working at home. I think there's going to be a huge spike in economy over the internet. I think there's going to be some real major shifts in how the world works after this. Universities. Maybe kids don't need to go to a classroom. Maybe they can have just online classes. And maybe that online professor, can he be farmed out to a couple universities? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think education's going to change. I'm sure Michigan State, Michigan, they're all trying to figure out, all right, to be better prepared, how can we expand these self-serve offerings, right?
It's going to play out over the next year.
I agree. You know what else? I got one other suggestion for you guys. Just make sure you load up on Cisco and Broadcom stock, because that's where the money's going to be spent.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so. The tech companies are going to come out of this smelling pretty good, I think.
So it's going to be an interesting future. But I think if there is no support for from the Democrats in this process going forward for making some tough decision about the economy, we are going to be in some serious trouble.
The economy is almost like a living organism in itself. You got to feed it, man, or it's going to die.
Yeah, if they're gonna make a boogeyman out of everybody who's trying to who believes that we need an economy, then the politicians are never going to have the guts to pull the trigger and try to get things back on track.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just think that there's going to be a lot of fundamental changes in the way things are done. And I'd hate to be a restaurant owner right now, but, you know, and I think I read today that one-third of Michigan restaurants may not make it through this.
Yeah, I saw that. That's true. But you know what we're talking about, I wouldn't bet against America in this. The innovation, I don't believe this is the end of the world, okay?
I don't either.
The virus. So there is a point where things are better, we can move on. And I think the innovation that you're going to see is going to be tremendous. We'll find different avenues to make a buck, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
The people of America are pretty resilient. You know, another thing that I noticed, the private sector coming with the Ford and GM with the ventilators and the people making the masks and everything, how that's really popped up in the last week. And people are just, okay, let's just get this done right now. The testing, what was it?
It was
50,000 tests a day that they'll be able to provide.
Yep.
And that, there's several companies that are doing that. And that'll help also when the tests are ubiquitous and we can get one. If you need a test, you can get one. Because I don't know about you. For all I know, I'm a carrier. I've had Yep. You know, I mean, I could be asymptomatic. I have no idea.
Right.
And when we can test those kinds of things, and that's coming in the near future.
Sure. If everyone can self-test, and if they're asymptomatic, they just know they got to self-quarantine. That's the way.
Right.
That's the way to. You're right, Dave. That's the way to nip this thing in the bud.
And I think you're right, Jim. I think you said earlier the social distancing, especially for our age group.
Yep.
That's for the next year. I firmly believe that they're going to tell us to keep away from everybody.
That at least makes some sense, and that means also that if you kind of open up the economy, and now by doing so, we know more people are going to be infected. But we're going to kind of make sure that the infection just stays among the healthier members of the population. People are just going to have to be disciplined about staying away from the elderly, and the elderly are just going to have to learn to accept it.
Yeah, it's just a way of life. You're right. In probably this time next year. There's a vaccine.
Well, I figure by this time next year, we'll probably know what sort of a life cycle there is in this thing. So even if they had a vaccine this time next year, it wouldn't do as much good for next winter. So by the fall of next year, there should be a vaccine out that would maybe be kind of akin to the flu vaccine.
Right. So life is kind of normal for us. 2020, fall of 2021.
Yep, that would be my guesstimate. Now, in the meantime, if we come up with treatments, you know, like this hydroxychloroquine and these Z-Packs, and if that works, and if everybody tries to come to some truth in that instead of politicizing it, or we come up with some other alternative treatments, that'll make things maybe a little more open as well.
Right. And I think there will be other treatments that I'm sure people are working on those right now. That's what's so great about America, is that you know that there's somebody working on those things because they can make a buck. I mean, I'm sure there's a altruistic element to it too.
Yeah, there is.
Also, I can make a good profit if I can come up with something here.
Well, I think it's good
for America.
Yep.
I think it's more than that. It's they know that if they don't have an economy, a functioning economy, no matter what you got, you're not gonna make a buck. So it's in their own self interest, besides making a buck, to get the economy back to normal as much as they can. Like everything else, this is Jim Cunningham's back of the envelope, what would we call it, making it up on the fly or whatever.
Uh-oh.
Just whatever comes into mind. There's no solid science behind anything I'm saying here.
So let me say this right now. The views of Dr. Jim are not necessarily the views of the Yacht Club show.
I think that would be a wise disclaimer if you want to... Right.
Well,
or earn your credibility with your audience.
All right. Yep. Wrap this up in any way, or?
Well, wait a minute. Before we do, I want you to know that Mike started out saying that it's been a rough week, not too much good news going around. I just want you guys to know that I scored some TP today.
Where?
Hey,
Costco?
No, I went to Myers.
Really?
Wow.
Here.
We'll be heading out there in the morning. How was the supply?
Well, I mean, it was going fast, but it was the middle of the afternoon, and I was able to get some. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty good sign, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that was set back.
Dave's selling it for $25 a roll. Jim, you come in at 24, and you got my business.
Okay.
Jim, now was it quality toilet paper, or it was off-brand, or what did you
it was.
One ply? Was it one ply, Jim?
Yeah,
it was top shelf, baby. It was Charmin.
Charmin? Oh, two or three ply, probably. Wow, I'm impressed.
You know what you should do is peel them apart so you can stretch.
Yeah, double.
Have Arlene
roll up by
and use one square at a time.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait a minute. Who said that once? What celebrity said? Oh, was it Sheryl Crow?
Yeah, Sheryl Crow.
What'd she say? Just use one square of toilet paper at a time? Was that her?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
It all comes back now.
She was a prophet.
She was a prophet. If we'd only listened.
Yeah. No, along those lines, Kay has been sending me out for, I've done the shopping that we needed, and she's wanted flour. And I don't know.
Oh, get flour.
You can't find flour anywhere.
Boy, Dave, this is 2 weeks now you've been trying to find flour.
Flour, yep. So I was at Costco yesterday, and going down the aisle, they had a 25-pound bag of flour. And I said, you want flour, honey? You're going to get flour.
Here it is.
Wait, here it is. 25-pound bag. It's probably we'll have it for the next 3 years, but by gosh, we'll have flour.
You got flour. Yeah.
We got flour.
Neighbors will be coming over to borrow a couple flour now. They'll know.
They'll
know where to go.
Yeah, you guys get flour? Now, Jim, I'll trade you some flour for some toilet paper.
For some squares?
See, that's what's going to happen, too. We're going to have a
barter.
You want a roll.
We're going to have a bartering system like they do in India, right?
You're
going
to have to convert that flour into some prime baked goods if you want a roll.
So we're going to have a bartering system. Isn't that how they kind of do things in India? That's how our economy might change. Hey, I'll give you a couple flour for one of those toilet paper rolls. That's what's going to happen.
You're going to be meeting a guy behind Costco.
Yeah.
You're going to roll the toilet paper.
We'll have to leave it on the porch. It's just leave it and come back later for I'll leave the flour and come back later for the toilet paper, I guess, is how we'll have to do it.
Yeah, there's an element of trust there. I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's been great talking to you.
Good talking to you, and ask God to watch over all of us healthy and in His care, and take care of your world, and let's get through this so we can move on here. Amen. All right, boys.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.